from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
50-minute mark on the fans brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram and Peters. Even though I have vowed to not make too much of preseason football.
Vows were meant to be broken, and we knew you would.
No, I'm not starting with that.
Yeah,
it doesn't mean I'm not watching. That doesn't mean I am not so happy to hear Papiani back describing
the action.
Yeah, like when Dwan Edwards scored a touchdown.
First and goal for the Steelers now with Allen in the shotgun. Handoff up the middle, and it's going to be a touchdown for the Steelers. Edwards finishes what he started.
Look at that guy, Dwan Edwards, ladies and gentlemen. Could he make this team? Is he making a charge? Is he making an impression? I love Bob in these spots.
It's a very funny paradox. There is no lower stakes for your average fan part of the Steelers season compared to late first or second preseason game, guys you know, as Pomp likes to call them, future bartenders of America. And yet, in his chair, that's got to be the hardest time to do this. It's when all the Scribinos and Scribinskis are out there, your fifth, sixth, and seventh string players, guys who take a picture on the sideline of so-and-so wearing a 60 jersey or whatever, because it's the last time you'll see him wearing that Steelers color. And Pomp's got to be all over these stories. And these players.
It's the biggest thing Pop will do all year. With apologies to the nightly sports call with us or the showdowns or any sports cast.
No, it's a big deal.
The ratings
hard
for those preseason games are gigantic. Tons of people watch, even though the quality of football isn't any good.
Because it's football.
Yeah, and so Bob has to be on his game, and he was with this Connor Hayward touchdown.
Oh, yeah.
Tariq Black is in the game for the Steelers. He's a big guy. And this is Allen going to the outside. Has Connor Hayward, who lunges for the pylon, and he gets it. It's a touchdown for the Pittsburgh Steelers. Hayward.
He's a Hayward. Big guy. I like that he's
lunging.
He's a big guy.
So
you had two takes, though. You were a tale of two takes when it came to Justin Fields.
I thought he was solid when I watched it live.
Uh-huh.
I also feel like he's a hard guy to analyze in August football because the things that make him great are not something that the Steelers are going to ask him to do in games that don't count. So the read option game, the design runs, maybe even some of the improvisational runs, they're telling him that it's not worth it to risk injury. So I have to at least factor that in whenever grading him in these situations.
Okay.
That it's just not going to be part of his repertoire in this type of game. However.
Yes.
However.
Mm-hmm.
On second thought and second watch, and then also talking to quarterbacks, people that played the position,
mm-hmm.
The quarterbacks say the fumbles are his fault. The quarterbacks say the center exchange things, that's not a Nate Herbig problem. That's a Justin Fields under center, got to be able to get that ball. And it can't be written off as, well, bad chemistry with new center, because apparently this is something that has followed him from Chicago. He had the same snafu there. He had the same issue there where these easy center quarterback exchanges with him
are not
can
so
sometimes
easy.
Be a complete adventure.
Yeah, I think that has to be, it has to be the quarterback's purview. Also, you could tell watching the game live, I felt like, that they were on him. The snaps looked like they were there, and they just glanced off his hands. Herbig on the first one, Herbig's trying to snap the ball and get moving to his right very quickly, because that's the blocking assignment that he's got. Looked like it hit Fields pretty much square. I definitely would put, without even having talked to a quarterback, I thought that they should both be on him.
So, I think about that, and then the last drive he's in there for, now I am getting the splitting hair machine out there, and I am getting the magnifying glass.
But we're not actually taking long, you know, we're not drawing sweeping conclusions on this. This is just, you're fine-tooth combing
it. I'm just going over what he did.
Sure.
Okay?
Yes.
The play where Jefferson technically caught the ball, but Tomlin was in midseason form and didn't challenge it. That's not a good throw.
Correct.
It's behind the guy, and he's lucky, actually, that Jefferson still made the catch.
If the throw's where it should be, it's an automatic catch.
And Chris, even though he's not running, even though he's not in a situation, I think, where they want to have him scooting around and making plays with his legs, you're in Boswell field goal range for him.
Take a sack.
It's 3rd and 6, and he takes a terrible sack. Yep. He's hanging onto the ball too long.
How many good plays did you think he made? Like, I would objectively good play. I could count 2 or 3.
I like the first one to Najee on the screen because there was pressure immediately, and he put the ball where he needed to.
The one to Pickens where he sidearmed it to him.
Yep.
And then I thought the one to Jefferson across the middle was a good throw.
Yeah, that he also hit Pickens on another one where it was just get the ball out and throw it to him.
Those are like football 101, couple of those.
Here's the thing.
Yes.
Here's how I will then rate the way he played. If we are, and it sounds like there's still some discussion of, are we comparing him to Russell Wilson for right now and trying to determine who starts against Atlanta? When I watch back that game, I don't think he did anything in that game. If I were Mike Tomlin and my first instinct was to go with Wilson and give him the pole position, I don't think in the game he changed my mind at all. He's doing that on the practice fields. He threw an absolute like BB to Calvin Austin where the ball was in the air for 50 yards and it just hit the guy right in the numbers. He's doing that in practice. The arm strength and arm talent is insane. And he is one of the great athletes. He won the home run derby there last night,
which
Chris.
Is an
That's
upset because Wilson was a D1 baseball player who got drafted by the Rangers. And then who's the other guy?
John Rhys-Plumlee played college baseball.
Yeah, so they had two D1 baseball
Alex
players.
Highsmith was a college baseball player. So he is just an insane athlete. We know all that. But a lot of the things that plagued him in Chicago seeped in Friday night. And I'm not giving up on Fields because of that athleticism. And clearly we've seen quarterbacks who were not great pocket players succeed in the NFL to some degree because of their run ability. But overall, Chris, I said it on Friday. We talked about previewing that game. I said, I feel like we're going to come out of this. It's going to be a very ho-hum Justin Fields performance. And my Nostradamus qualities came out in this.
Did you offer a Dodgers, by the way, just as a sidebar, Dodgers series prediction?
I did not.
Okay, probably for the best. I didn't think he was that impressive.
You want to put a grade on it for me?
A C-.
Jeez.
Because I start from a position of, like, everything you just said there kind of makes me nervous because I know you're not going to fall into the picket trap again. By the way, did you see our guy Kenny was up to his old tricks?
Oh, the tricks are back.
No,
he's
no,
into
no.
His bag.
He was into his bag. That's why only 4 passes were even thrown longer than 10 yards. He's in his bag for sure. 14 of 22 for 89 yards. That sounds like a Kenny line. But you said you're not going to put any stock in the preseason, but I feel like you're doing the same thing as far as getting yourself a little bit pumped up. When you even tell these training camp tales of the throws he's capable of making, do it in the game. Like, show me that version of you in the game. And I understand he can only make do with what they call, and Smith's not going to, you know, show anything from his bag of tricks in the preseason. I just felt like it was the classic Justin Fields experience that we were warned about. Two fumbles are bad plays. I know one of them technically went for like a 4.5 yard gain, Oakland Raiders style, but two of them are fumbles.
Holy roller play.
Yeah. They rolled it right up the field there on him. Two of them are fumbles.
Dom, do you even know what the holy roller play is? Intern Dom's in for Donnie.
Yes, I do.
What was the holy roller play?
I know the name of it.
Okay.
So you don't know anything about it.
Now attempt to explain what happened.
The immaculate reception is ball hits two, you know, one player first, and Franco catches it on the run, scores. Can you explain in those terms holy roller?
So the holy roller play was basically...
I can't wait to hear you BS your way through this like a paper or a book report for something you didn't read.
No, it was a play where there was some controversy over whether the ball was like in play or not. Mm. And it led to a lot of discussion about, was this a legal move or not?
Webster's defines the holy roller as, it's a play where the Raiders very famously and very overtly and obviously fumbled the ball forward into the end zone on the last play of the game to win the game. And the NFL quickly outlawed that practice. One more Raiders question. Who was the receiving player, the receiver or pass catcher, I should say, on the other end, the catching end of the ghost to the post?
I don't know.
Think of famous ghosts and what their names are.
Famous ghosts?
Yes.
Casper?
Dave Casper.
There you go.
You just got one right. All right, anyway, I just feel like we got the full... I knew, by the way, from the first second we asked you about the holy roller, you had no
clue. By the way, Dom, later in the show, will be doing his best impression of the Australian breakdancer from
Gun.
The Olympics.
Yes.
Who got 0 points, and it was like a...
She was a vibe.
It was like the end of Billy Madison, where we are all now more stupid having watched you do this, but it was also very entertaining.
Not quite as entertaining as the French broadcast of Curry hitting all those threes, and they kept calling him the devil named Curry, which was very, very, very funny.
By the way, Pittsburgh did a great rating for the men's gold medal game. How about that?
I mean, I guess they don't
this
like the NBA, but they
basketball.
Love patriotism.
Oh.
They hate the French, too. They must really hate the French.
It was more pro-America
Did you see Jokic, by the way? Bronze medal winner, and they're hamming it up on the bus, and then when he wins the NBA title, it's the job is done and we can go home. Anyway, just to finish my Fields thought, I do want this out there. I thought we got the Justin Fields experience we'd been told to expect. Two fumbles are very negative plays, and I think the coaching staff rightly viewed them as such. I thought he was okay in the pocket. Like, I like the throw to Jefferson. I like the arm angles. We know the arm is there, but you already highlighted it. One throw that's a pretty basic NFL throw, I would say, for a good quarterback. He puts in the wrong spot, results in a no catch, even though it should have been challenged. If you throw that ball where it's supposed to be, there's no argument there. It's caught, presumably, and you go about your business. The whole thing that was supposed to happen for him, or that needs to happen, I think make him like truly a steal for the Steelers, where it becomes, oh my God, what a heist. He has to get, not like, he doesn't have to become great from the pocket. He has to become good from the pocket.
See, I think it's just design an offense that caters to his strengths.
Well, Smith does that because who's closer to Ryan Tannehill circa 2019? Smith or Fields? Wilson or Fields?
Fields.
It's Fields, athletically. What did they get Tannehill doing? Throwing a bunch of very favorable play action shots and getting out on the move and then throwing on the run. So I think that's there. But if he just can be like better than average from standing in, drop back, take your five-step drop, scan the defense and make a decisive throw, he will take over this job quickly. But now, I don't think can do that.
But I'm saying the offense is built on Fields' running ability. That's how I think it works. And I don't think it might not last long because he's in his 20s, and also teams will probably, to some extent, figure it out like the Steelers have with Lamar Jackson. But I think that's the best chance he has to be good here. I don't really think, with very rare exception, do guys get better at processing and reading defenses and going through their reads and getting the ball out on time and accurately and things like that.
Well, I think there's a caveat there. If they do get better, it's just that they started off pretty good at it and get even better. Brady got even better at doing it. Mahomes got even better at doing it, and so on. If it's something that's seen as a legitimate deficiency, there are, how many examples are there of a guy actually like really improving?
Josh Allen's accuracy is one that gets brought up all the time.
Okay, but wasn't his accuracy part and parcel with throwing motion getting changed? Like, Jalen Hurts, I thought, in year two, clearly, as a starter, became much better at everything. You could always cite Rich Gannon from way back in the day.
Yes.
Well, I'm just saying, a guy who was disappointing and then randomly got it all together. But yeah, usually you are what you are by this point.
I want to know what our listeners' first impression of Justin Fields is. I'm genuinely curious. I mean, we have 8 phone lines here. We have intern Dom at the controls here and not Donnie. I have not heard what fans think of Fields from Friday night. I've heard analysts. I've heard former coaches. I've heard former quarterbacks. I've heard hosts on our station. I don't think I've heard a phone call on it. Now, when you have Poppin with Zeiss and Joe, you know, they're really... It's a three-way volley session. I mean, they're really going back and forth, and it's good. But I don't even know if I heard people this morning with the appetite to call in on Field. So I'd actually love to hear what people thought of his first game. 412-928-9370. The first time I watched it, I thought he was solid. I watched it back this morning, and I'm actually thinking he had a bad game. I'd love to know what you thought. 412-928-9370. Text us on the Edgar Slatter & Associates fan text line. Your first impression of Justin Fields, his first game action with the Steelers.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.